The emphasis now that we're spending a lot of time on is voter education on what does the voting process look like?
Yeah.
So we're a vote by mail state. So what happens when you actually fill out your ballot, sign it, and drop it in a drop box or the mail?
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and this is Raven Conversation. And today I'm joined by an incredibly special guest, in my opinion, very incredibly special guest, Colonel retired Kevin McMahon, who is now the Assistant Secretary of State for the state of Washington, longtime retired guardsman. You served in the Guard for a very long time, retired what after the 2021 COVID response ended,
Yep, retired in officially August of 2022.
Yeah. So here to share his story about being in the Guard and kind of what he's been doing post-Guard career. Thanks for coming, sir.
Yeah. Appreciate you inviting me back.
Yeah. So intro and background on yourself.
Oh, gosh.
As much in depth as you want to get.
Well, let's see if we can do the ORB. yeah, I came into the Guard in 92 up in Colville, Washington, of all places, to echo one of the 161, and then progressed along different assignments, company commander there in Moses Lake for Charlie and then Delta, one of the 161. Deployed with one of the 161 to OIF-2. Came back, was at the brigade headquarters as the assistant S3 for a while, and then deployed again a second time with the 81st Brigade to this time to Ramadi where the headquarters was at. Came back, had the opportunity to command one of the 161, went off to become a U.S. Army War College Fellow, and then returned where I was the J1 HRO, J3, and then the opportunity to be the 96th Troop Command Commander, Homeland Response Force Commander, and then the commander of Joint Task Force Steelhead.
Yeah. I always like to ask, how'd you learn about the Guard?
Oh, well, it's one of those things where my whole college career was to go on active duty, right? And then in 1991, when I graduated from college, the post Desert Storm, Desert Shield effort, they cut deep to the bone. And so my active duty career was cut very quickly short to being, you're going to be a National Guard Reserve officer. Decided to go back to school and got my master's degree. And at the conclusion, or there, somewhere in the middle of that, I reached out to the Washington National Guard because I knew I was going to be going to Spokane. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became a member of the first of the 161 and the Washington National Guard.
Yeah. So you kind of highlighted different parts of your Guard career. Yeah. I think I met you when you took over one of the 161 as the battalion commander. Kind of briefly, you know, what are some of those opportunities that stick out just thinking about them having in your Guard career?
Opportunities like?
Like just assignments, opportunities, schools, anything that kind of just sticks out.
Oh, well, I don't know if they stick out, but I will tell you, especially if some of your junior officers are listening, focus on your tactical acumen. Spend a lot of time making sure that you understand what that looks like. Become a professional in that level. And then when you become a field grade, then begin to kind of expand your capabilities outside of that tactical level. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? So in the Guard, we have great opportunities for domestic operations, great opportunities to go overseas to Malaysia and Thailand with our state partnership program. Great opportunities to maybe do a stint back at National Guard Bureau for a period of time. And I realize some of our traditional service members won't have that opportunity because of their full-time employment. But when they present themselves, jump at those because they are far and few between. And I think that then broadens your perspective as a guardsman and then broadens your perspective as a professional within our field of service so that you have a better idea as you rise up in rank as to the bigger picture. If you stay focused, just for example, I'm going to be an infantryman, I'm only going to do infantry, I don't want to do anything else. Hey, that's great, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice in our organization if you become so focus-minded.
Yeah, and I think having that kind of broader idea and kind of expanding your horizon led to your post-Guard career. So as the Assistant Secretary of State, can you kind of briefly tell us what your role is and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my portfolio includes our elections division, so think all things elections in the state of Washington. And then I had the opportunity to stand up a division, which we call Information Security and Response. Think of that as cybersecurity professionals that support our office and then as required assist the counties in any efforts that they might need. And then in addition to that, strategic messaging related to elections. So a lot of advertisements, a lot of social media, a lot of strategic messaging that we, leverage to our benefit to make sure that we're communicating properly to Washingtonians and actually to individuals outside of the state as to what we're doing within Washington and the Office of the Secretary of State. And then the third element that I've also had the opportunity to stand up is our civic engagement program. Mm-hmm. So this is a program where we're attempting to reach out to historically underserved communities, think communities of color, rural communities. And then we also have a criminal justice line of effort to where we're ensuring that people understand how civics works with an intent of making sure that, I want to do a grassroots effort. How do I get a hold of my local elected official? How do I go ahead and engage state and federal representatives or senators? How do I go about making recommendations to make a law or, pick a thing related to that to that topic? But helping everyone understand how that works.
Yeah. So it very busy time for you. That's why I appreciate you coming on. Obviously, your office is it's very bipartisan. Your focus is really just educating voters on how to get out and vote.
Yeah.
Anything, when you got this platform, the importance of voting, anything you want to say to anyone out there that's first time voter even?
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the things that we did, the election community, and I wasn't a part of it prior to this, but a lot of emphasis on get out the vote, right? We remember all those as we were coming out to making sure that people voted. The emphasis now that we're spending a lot of time on is voter education on what does the voting process look like?
Yeah.
So we're a vote by mail state. So what happens when you actually fill out your ballot, sign it, and drop it in a drop box or the mail? What takes place? How does that work? So that we can educate and inform individuals of, no, these are the actual steps that are identified, some of them within RCW or law, and making sure that people really, really understand what that process looks like so that we can get ahead of some of these narratives that talk about, ballot stuffing or changing votes or all the things that we've unfortunately seen over the past 8 years.
Yeah, and I think we've been lucky to have talked to, obviously, Steve Hobbs, Secretary of State. He's a guardsman. But also, I believe now he's Major Brian Elliott, who is county auditor in Kittitas mm-hmm. County.
Yep.
And they've kind of talked about that same process, right? It's not just one person who makes a decision. It is the Secretary of State really just is supporting those county auditors.
Yep.
And it sounds like your role there is to support them and making sure that they can do their job accurately.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, all elections are local, right? So it's, to your point, those county auditors and the election officials at the county level are the ones that really do all the heavy lifting to support the election process. We provide policy, we provide funding, we provide additional support that the counties may require some assistance from. And so then we assist in that effort. We manage the statewide voter registration database, but the counties obviously have a significant impact and influence on assisting in that process as well. So it's a team effort. And I think one of the benefits for myself, Secretary Hobbs and other members of the military that work for our office is, that's one of the things that's instilled in you when you serve is you just can't do it alone. That's a team effort or, that unity of effort process.
Yeah. And that kind of comes to my next question. How do you feel like serving in the Guard and being, having a Guard career that spanned over almost 31 years? How do you think that helped you in your post-Guard career?
Yeah, I guess I'll answer it this way. I've had a number of individuals that have reached out to me that, hey, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm a little concerned. And I will tell them, yes, there are stereotypes of businesses or individuals out there as to what they think the military is like. But I also then go back and tell them every person that I've seen that's gone into state government or civilian workforce, they bring certain skill sets, whether it's, using the military decision-making process, whether it's being able to sit down with someone and give them some corrective action or corrective understanding of how maybe they're just not doing the job correctly. All those things that we've all experienced at some point in time in our careers are a tremendous value add because in the greater world, that's not that common.
Mm-hmm.
And so going out and educating also employers that if you hire a veteran or a service member that's retiring, you're getting this whole package of skills, capabilities, that you don't have to invest in because that's already there. So then really give them distance and direction, turn them loose and just stand back and watch the amazing things that they do.
Yeah. So for those that are younger, that are watching and they're like, hey, I'm interested in the Guard or, even folks in ROTC that they're waiting to get into that first unit. What's kind of that advice you'd give them as they kind of start that career now?
Yeah, if they're starting earlier, it's the same advice they're probably getting from everybody as they're getting ready to enter, especially if you're an officer. They give you probably the best resource that you'll get early on in your career, and that is a non-commissioned officer that's going to, you know, if you don't listen to them, if you don't leverage their experience and their skill sets, again, you're doing yourself a disservice. I had a saying when I took over, for example, as a company commander and then also as a battalion commander, when I sat down with the first sergeant and then the command sergeant major is, hey, look, I command this unit, but you run it. Mm-hmm. And I really think that is one of the things that was impressed upon me as a young officer is leverage those non-commissioned officers, listen to them, involve them in your decision-making process, take all that information and then make the final determination and decision, but really use them to your full benefit. It will pay dividends hugely for you and the service member that you have the opportunity to lead.
Yeah. Kind of one of those questions, I think, for retirees. What's something you miss about the Guard?
Well, obviously the camaraderie, right? I mean, it's kind of unique when you get into organizations. They all have their different environments, their different ways of doing business. But that camaraderie, and then also everyone in the military, for the most part, understands their mission, their role, and their responsibility. It doesn't really need to be explained too much when the positions that you're in, and you don't necessarily find that, at least I don't, as readily available in the civilian side of the house, where you've got to really begin to sit down and inform and educate people. Hey, this is your role. This is your responsibility. This is what I want you to do. Where within the military, it's kind of inherently or institutionally known.
Yeah. Now on the flip side, what's the best part about being retired from the Guard?
Well, I got my weekends back, right?
There you go.
And that's, I'm sure, the standard answer. What do I miss about the Guard? Or don't miss, I should say. I don't know. Everyone goes through their transition period.
Now you can grow facial hair.
Now I can grow facial. Yeah. Well, I'm just being lazy.
You usually are clean shave. Yeah.
Nothing really comes to mind.
No. Anything else you want to add? I know you're incredibly busy at this time, so.
No. I mean, have you got more questions?
No, I'm readily available.
Anything else I'd like to add? Well, I guess I would say this. I think the National Guard is one of those unique organizations. When I first came in, which was in the early 90s, after Desert Storm, Desert Shield, there were instances where the Guard was kind of looked poorly upon. I think our organization and the Guard as a whole over the years continue to demonstrate the professionalism and the capabilities that exist. And then when the nation called during the Iraq War, the Afghanistan, 9/11, and then everything that's taken place after that, just continually impressed upon what the Guard is able to do. I go back and I look, for example, at my experiences with the Joint Task Force. Over 2,200 service members within our state served for 18 months responding to the needs of the citizens of this state. That's amazing. Hmm. And then what they were able to do, countless times I heard from people that we were supporting, I can't believe you all are able to come in and pick this up and then begin to distribute out so many meals or vaccinations or, you know, testing people, and just the skill set that exists there. So it is a unique organization. Don't be afraid of it if you're kind of considering to come in, mm-hmm. because it's a great opportunity. And then once you're in, then, as I mentioned earlier, fully embrace all those opportunities that the organization provides. We've got great leaders that are currently leading it, both on the Air and the Army side of the house. And so, if you're concerned, don't be. Yeah. Jump in with both feet, embrace it, and then enjoy your time in serving.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining us, sir. I've always considered a mentor, a friend. I will never call you Kevin. It'll always be sir to me. But I appreciate your time coming on and talking about this. I think it's incredibly important what you're doing, both having served with you and watching you now post-service. If you like the video, give it a like. If you want to know more about, you know, what you do at the Assistant Secretary of State's office, we can definitely put that a link to that in the notes. I definitely go to the sos.wa.gov site all the time. And if you like the video, make sure to subscribe for future videos.
Sir, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the opportunity.